For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, and a cheery bonjour hi to the good people of Montreal, a greeting to which the language police emphatically do not subscribe, because they're in 25th spot on our all-time views by city list. Montreal is also the location of Papineau, the home riding of today's climate hypocrite of the week, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. As a recent news story in the Toronto Sun opened fire, quote, "Despite assertions by a cabinet minister that summer road trips cause wildfires, just under half of the nearly 182,000 kilometers flown by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau so far this year took place during the past 3 months," end quote. Coming in a close second in the contest is Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, hailed by the press as bringing new energy and focus to Kamala Harris's energetically focused climate policy as her vice presidential candidate, because he was caught, had to Mark Morano, by the Midwesterner, flying between campaign stops less than 54 miles apart. And it is not unfair to ask them, when they say we not only must, but easily can cut down our carbon footprint, or wingspan, to ask them to show us how. Instead, they're constantly in the air, including for short flights. Trudeau routinely hops on a jet for 45-minute or even, believe it or not, 15-minute flights. But hey, he's worth it. You're not. Now, you may remember that Greta Thunberg's effort to sail across the Atlantic rather than fly drew a lot of justified flack for the massive logistical support, including, awkwardly, crew members flying to be ready in the right location to sail. But at least she tried. Is there one political leader fond of espousing green dogma whose flight manifest doesn't undermine the whole thing? And, from the not-quite-the-point file, Statista notes that between June 2022 and June 2023, between 8 and 13% of the population in various advanced countries participated in climate-related protests. And it says, quote, "While these figures may sound low, according to a study published in 2011 of campaigns of nonviolent civil resistance between 1900 and 2006, no government can withstand a challenge of 3.5% of its population without either accommodating the movement or, in extreme cases, disintegrating," end quote. Yeah, except if the protesters demand unpopular and impossible things, and then, when the government tries to do them, the rest of the public promptly votes them out. Oh, and from the celibacy suddenly sounds better file, we're told that, quote, "Research has revealed that eating grasshoppers, Rospolia nitidula, can improve your sex drive," end quote. So apparently the real net zero agenda, with its recurring fixation on getting rid of beef in favor of insect protein, has erotic appeal. But look, I don't claim to have been Casanova, even in my now somewhat distant youth, but I just can't get behind the slogan, quote, "Nothing says romance like a bowl of bugs," end quote. Then, from the Settled Science file, we hear that our own planet might once have had one of those cool rings like those long admired on Saturn and later discovered on the other gas giants. And, if this study is right, the ring formed long ago, before the dinosaurs, and crashed to Earth within a few tens of millions of years. Yes, a few. That's how geologists talk. And the authors say, quote, "We further speculate that shading of Earth by this ring may have triggered cooling into the Hernantian global ice house period," end quote. So, the more we learn about paleoclimate, the less CO2 drives it, as we suspected here at CDN. Also from that same file, apparently, quote, "The sun is stranger than astrophysicists imagined," end quote. So, apparently the science isn't settled, including on how the sun's weirdness might affect the climate on Earth. The journalism is settled, though. Or is it? Inside Climate News tries to fact-check Donald Trump's debate statement, "Germany tried that," claiming that, quote, "For German audiences, or anyone who has followed Germany's decades-long push to move away from fossil fuels and nuclear power, Trump's comments made little sense," end quote. Oh, really? Because in Unheard, one Ralph Schulhammer warns that Germany, quote, "may be witnessing not just a regular economic downturn, but the degrading of the very structures needed for any future recovery. Looming above it all are high energy costs," end quote. Oh, that. And now, from our mailbox, someone recently asked us how long it would take if a big glacier fell into the ocean somewhere for water levels to equalize globally, which called to mind the often forgotten or overlooked question of just how big the Earth is, as well as the rather important point that all the oceans are connected. As for the size of the planet, You could fit 1,300 of old Terra into one Jupiter, but on the flip side, you could fit 153 Mercuries into one Earth. So the Earth, though not as big as a gas giant, is not small. And we bring it up here particularly because Canary Media recently lamented, quote, "Running Tide's ill-fated adventure in ocean carbon removal," end quote, where, after grabbing giant grants from gullible tech giants like Shopify, Stripe, Microsoft, and the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, a company dumped wood chips into the sea, and they sank, and that was that. What did anyone expect? That the weather would change? Apparently so. But it was a silly thing to believe. The original proposal by the company, hardly less silly, was apparently to make tiny little boys, spray them with kelp spores, and then suddenly a bunch more kelp would grow than that dopey evolution could manage, and voila, hundreds of years of carbon sinking and blessed relief from the dreaded warmth. So, with the help of the tech geniuses, Running Tide, quote, "went on to raise millions of dollars from Silicon Valley funders," end quote. Quack, quack, quack. But not kelp, kelp, kelp. What they really did instead was sink, quote, "wood chips coated with lime kiln dust," not kelp-laced boys. In fact, last summer, Running Tide dumped 15 cargo loads of wood chips off the coast of Iceland to fulfill its contracts with Shopify and then Microsoft, end quote. Canute, call your office. Imagine thinking that 15 cargo loads of wood chips, which is a lot to humans but peanuts to the ocean, would actually change the composition of the Earth's atmosphere in significant ways, let alone significantly beneficial ones. The hubris is astounding, as is the gullibility of woke big tech, evidently. So, back to the size of the planet. Earth has a diameter of roughly 12,742 kilometers, a surface area of about 510 million square kilometers, that's just under 200 million square miles, and about 71% of it is ocean. And according to Wikipedia, it has a mass of roughly 5.9 times 10 to the 24th power, or 13 septillion pounds, or 6.5 sextillion tons. By comparison, the oceans are small, a mere 1.35 quintillion metric tons, or 1.35 sextillion kilograms, just 1/4,400th of the total mass of the planet. But the oceans are still huge, even though it really is true that if the Earth were the size of a billiard ball, it would be smoother. Sextillions are big anyway. The sky is huge too, which makes people try to chill everyone without their consent with balloons full of sulfur dioxide even more presumptuous. But for now, imagine trying to change the behavior of some 1.35 times 10 to the 18th metric tons of water with a few ships carrying wood chips. Now, if you're thinking, what is the carrying capacity of a freighter? The answer is, freighters come in a lot of different sizes. But a big modern one can carry 24,000 TEU, or 20-foot equivalent unit containers, each of them roughly 15 square meters, so a total of 360,000 cubic meters. And if Running Tide used 15 of them, you get to 5,400,000 cubic meters, which is 1/250 billionth of the volume of the oceans, and yet nothing happened. How strange. Or is it? Because it's the equivalent, if you weighed 100 kilograms, and we're not saying you do, of taking 4 billionths of a gram of something and expecting your health to change. By comparison, a standard alcoholic drink contains 13.45 grams of pure alcohol. Now, on a lighter note, in all the ruckus over a backlash against climate alarmism, we note the sudden mass flight in Canada from the once sacred carbon taxes that, it turns out, are making essential energy more expensive without doing a dang thing to reduce even our trifling GHG emissions, let alone those of humanity generally, to say nothing of not fixing the weather. So, socialist British Columbia Premier David Eby, whose own carbon tax was held up as a model to an indifferent world and a skeptical nation, has just suddenly dissed the whole scheme, saying that the national version of the tax is bad for Canadians and is hurting them financially without doing anything meaningful for climate, not to mention his rather shaky re-election prospects. And then Eby's federal counterpart, the staunchly spineless Jagmeet Singh of the federal NDP, chimed in equally surprisingly that, quote, "We want to see an approach to fighting the climate crisis where it doesn't put the burden on the backs of working people, where big polluters have to pay their fair share," end quote. Okay, the eat the rich rhetoric is predictable, but turning against the carbon tax is surprising. And the weather vane really is spinning here. Columnist John Iveson wrote about, quote, veteran economist and strategist Ken Bosenkuhl, part of a group called Conservatives for Clean Growth, who are pushing the idea that climate policy matters and that any credible election platform needs a carbon plan, end quote. Evidently, Bosenkuhl told Iveson that Conservative opposition leader Pierre Poilievre would not, if elected, axe the tax, as he has repeatedly promised to do, and said, quote, I just don't see any government in any future getting rid of that, Conservative, Liberal, or New Democrat. The question is, will it continue to get more stringent, end quote. Well, that's the orthodoxy. But in response, top Poilievre advisor Jenny Byrne exed out, quote, Ken Bosenkuhl is not an advisor to the Conservative Party of Canada. He is not an advisor to Pierre Poilievre. In fact, they have not spoken in years. He does not speak in any way for the CPC. The CPC will axe the tax to bring home lower prices and powerful paychecks, end quote. Kaboom! And speaking of good news, Jeeva Lang at Heatmap noted that according to their own poll, the Americans particularly likely to attend meetings on and to speak up at those meetings against proposed clean energy projects include, quote, people who owned 50 or more acres of land, end quote, who were also, she noted, disproportionately likely to be Donald Trump supporters. But instead of launching into a screed against them, she then listed their concerns respectfully and urged outreach to find mutually acceptable solutions. Which we find hugely desirable, not just because it might help lower the temperature of debate, which we all do need, unlike lowering the temperature of the planet, but also because they would have to be solutions. In the newsletter, also on a happy note, we produce our 8th cheerful chart, and this one's on deforestation. And look, for all the vehement disagreement out there on any number of issues, including environmental ones, we probably pretty much all agree that trees are nice and it would be a shame to chop them all down. And so we're happy to report that the numbers show that deforestation trends have reversed to the extent that in many advanced countries, we're now adding forest coverage. So yes, it's a cheerful picture, although we're not yet out of the woods. Or rather, it's a cheerful picture because we're not yet out of woods. Nor are we out of the ocean current. A staple of climate alarmism is that the AMOC, also known as the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or the Gulf Stream, or the ocean currents that carry warmth from the tropics to northern Europe, giving it a warmer climate than its latitude would otherwise permit, is going to slow down because climate models say that greenhouse warming will make the oceans yawn and get lazy. They keep not doing so. And now, a new study by scientists in Miami and the UK has shown that one of the data sets supposedly showing the slowing AMOC is biased due to, of all things, the Earth's changing geomagnetic field. It's an ingenious exercise based on currents in an underwater telecommunications cable from West Palm Beach to the Bahamas, but the basic message it's carrying here is that the downward trend in sverdrups per decade, which really is how they measure current flow in oceans, was an illusion, and that the trend since the turn of the century is precisely zero. Finally, good news for aspiring cabers from the CO2science.org archive. Scots or Scotch pine, formerly Pinus sylvestris L, introduces a hardy and fast-growing conifer to control erosion on abandoned agricultural sites in Canada, grows much better with more CO2. Aye, laddie. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I have never taken a 15-minute flight.